The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. What makes them industry giants? Get ready to take a peek inside and learn their secrets of success. This is Silicon Valley Insider, the show that demystifies the Valley and helps to elevate your business to the next level. Now, your hosts for Silicon Valley Insider, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and I'm pleased to have as my special guest today, founder of Hub, Eric Lee. Eric Lee is a serial entrepreneur who is well known for being a co-founder of LinkedIn. Following LinkedIn, he then founded Presto, and now one of the first to think about how humans interact with blockchain, Hub. Welcome, Eric.
Great to be here, Keith.
Some other things regarding Eric. Eric is very educated, did his undergraduate at Stanford, got a master's at MIT, and got a PhD at Stanford as well. Is there any more education for you, Eric?
I'd say that's enough, Keith.
I'm sure your parents thought it was enough.
Yes, they did. They, you know, Asian parents, you know the drill.
So, Eric, before we get back into Hub, what was it like? I'm sure the listeners want to hear. What was it like being at LinkedIn during the early days?
Well, it was really interesting. I mean, you have to understand the background when LinkedIn started. It was just the after the aftermath of the dot-com bust. And really, nobody wanted to start companies. And really, nobody wanted to fund companies either. So, interesting from that perspective. So, we really just put our heads down. You know, we came up with a pretty interesting idea at the time around, you know, connecting people online. Really, before LinkedIn, that was kind of a new concept. It's hard to imagine nowadays the internet, you know, not involving, you know, people and social networks. But LinkedIn was one of the first companies to pioneer, you know, bringing people online, especially on a professional basis. And so we just, you know, kept our heads down, you know, kept working and really worked on this idea that we were, you know, very intrigued about.
Yeah, LinkedIn has grown to be an amazing platform, over half a billion users, I believe, and acquired by Microsoft. And so you just mentioned there was a point in time in the internet's life cycle that social was completely new. And now we have things like Facebook, Instagram, Chinese have WeChat. I mean, there's just so many different things happening. You continued on, even after LinkedIn, you continued on with this whole kind of social experiment. What's that been like?
Well, it's been interesting. You know, I was one of those people, admittedly, who after, you know, my time at LinkedIn and leaving LinkedIn, I thought, okay, well, social is done. And, you know, there are all these companies out there that are, you know, working on it and continue to progress and so forth. And so the way I got back into it and continue with it was that, you know, talked to a lot of my friends and they said, well, you know, there's actually a lot still left to do. And they kind of dragged me back in, actually, you know, when I admittedly wanted to, you know, focus on something else. And so as I looked into it, you know, more deeply, I did realize that, in fact, there, you know, were more opportunities in a way that we're just kind of starting in terms of enabling people to connect in various ways, you know, online. And that's what we've been doing, you know, at the former company around conferences and so forth. So what's interesting about that scenario is that you have, you know, live events and people getting together, and they are interested to meet each other. But as you know, if the person you want to meet is all the way across the room, how do you know that? How do you know that's the person that you want to meet with? So we really created, you know, some more you know, tools around social networks and so forth to enable smaller groups of people to connect with one another. And that's actually how, you know, we eventually got to the current blockchain project.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. We had Sparkso on a few weeks back, which is a competitor to Eventbrite, but they built in these social functions. These are producers who started a technology company to compete with Eventbrite. And very similar to what you're saying is that there's still this kind of unsolved for thing between really personalized experiences where I'm at a concert or you're at a concert and there's all this affinity around me with people. How do we tap into that? So why not make Presto the idea you're moving towards with Hub? Why not make that onto the blockchain?
Well, there is an opportunity, to do that. Well, we'd like to believe, what we're doing at Presto is really solving the last mile, if you will, of social networking, people connecting online. And then eventually that leads to people connecting face to face. And still there are tools that are needed there to facilitate those kinds of meetings and, discovery. And so that's what we've been doing in the conference space. But blockchain is something, wholly new and something different. And so we saw that the opportunities around that, certainly extend, beyond kind of, live in-person meetings to, something much broader. So we're interested to explore, the broader opportunities.
So when we thought about Hub, your current project, was that first and foremost something that came up with the blockchain idea, or was it just the concept itself of creating these social interactions?
Well, it's interesting, the way that new ideas are born, oftentimes there isn't necessarily a linear path. They're inspired by a lot of different, factors. So about a year ago, we certainly started thinking about blockchain. And we also had all this experience around how, to build effective and successful social networks. And I was trying to put those two ideas together in my head and trying to figure out, okay, well, blockchain is certainly a very interesting technology. How can we apply it to some of the challenges that still exist with social networking technologies? And that's really how we came to this idea, around Hub and, what we're doing today with Hub.
Right. And I think a lot of what we've heard so far, be it Bitcoin, blockchain in general, Ethereum, there's this concept around what a lot of people say are trustless transactions and interactions. And that's really machine-to-machine financial banking transactions. Once it's been launched, we just need to make sure that it gets completed. We'll dive way more into it during the show, but Hub is actually solving for trusted interactions between people. This is not machine to machine.
Well, it's not machine to machine, but I think what's interesting about all the tools that humans create is that they serve the purpose of humans trying to get things done. So even with blockchain, those are tools in terms of enabling humans to coordinate and transact successfully with each other, even if they are using machines, to mediate that and facilitate that between themselves and other humans. And so to some extent, there are always humans that are involved in this process. And so we shouldn't certainly forget about that.
Right. And I think in your white paper, I believe it was where we were talking about third-party transactions, and now we're talking about second-party. So this is direct.
Yeah, that's right. Our CMO, Miko Matsumura, has an interesting, phrasing or characterization of how we represent trust. And, he defines the world, between first-party trust, second-party trust, and third-party trust. And I'll just explain very quickly what, all those mean. So basically, first-party trust is, trust in yourself, and hopefully that's more or less of a solved problem. And what the blockchain does today is really facilitating third-party trust. And that is, when you are dealing with a third party, you can use something like a blockchain to facilitate trustless transactions, because the trust is basically built into computer programs that enforce the trust, basically. And what Hub is doing, what we're doing, is really about the second party trust, the trust that should exist between two individuals and how they come together in a transaction that leverages third-party trust to actually carry that transaction through. And that's still an opportunity that needs to be solved.
And that's a fascinating concept between third-party trust and second-party trust. And we'll dive more into that when we get back. Also, before we get back, in the next segment, we'll be talking about our email tip of the week. And this is going to continue on with the Facebook saga on the Cambridge Analytica issue. And then in a segment after that, we'll actually give our cyber tip related to Facebook. So don't go away. You're listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo and guest Eric Lee. And you can get a hold of us at info@svin.biz.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I am your host, Keith Koo, and joined today by founder and CEO of Hub, Eric Lee. Thanks again, Eric, for being here.
Great to be here.
So in our last segment, we had given an overview of your journey from LinkedIn to Presto and now to Hub. Let's go back and clarify. Presto is a conference app, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's a conference app. You know, for people who go to conferences, they're probably starting to see these things where there's a companion tool that is really their guide, you know, to conferences. And we have one of those products that helps, you know, facilitate the content, the agenda, and all the other information that exists around a conference. And the unique thing that we add is really this networking dimension that, you know, because of our background from LinkedIn, we really believe in, you know, enabling connections between people. And so we've got some features in our product that helps people connect with each other at conferences.
And then you were starting the last segment to explain how the experience with LinkedIn and Presto then led to your current project, Hub.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, what Hub is about is it is a blockchain project. And what its goal is to facilitate trust using a blockchain. So our vision fundamentally is that, you know, a few years from now, you know, literally all the world's people, you know, billions of people will be using a blockchain to create trustworthy relationships of many different kinds. And that's what we're trying to enable with Hub.
Well, thanks for the overview. And that sound means it's our news of the week. And this was actually a very busy week for technology. This week, we had the first pedestrian killed by an autonomous driving vehicle. We don't know all the details yet, but it looks like a homeless person was crossing the median in Tempe, Arizona, where there's, I guess, over 100 autonomous vehicles or hundreds of autonomous vehicles. And it's a really sad story in that she died, but also made Uber pause all of their testing of autonomous vehicles until they could figure out what happened. And early police reports say that it's no different than another person jaywalking in the intersection. But still, I think it just causes a lot of concern around emerging technologies. Also in the news was that Amazon had at one point crossed being the most valued company in the world. And to defend against that, Google has formed alliances with companies like Target and Home Depot to defend against Amazon's, you know, perceived takeover of retail. And so we see that oftentimes companies that are up and coming, and Amazon's been around since the dot-com era, but that it's forcing traditional companies to rethink their business models. And then the last story of this week is huge. It is the Cambridge Analytica Facebook data exposure. And this is where 50 million Americans have had their Facebook data exposed for what's perceived to be political reasons. And we'll get much more into that, but there's congressional subpoenas, there's requests for Mark Zuckerberg to show up on Capitol Hill, and I'm sure we won't hear the last of this. So related to the Cambridge Analytica issue with Facebook, a question came from a listener on what this whole Facebook Cambridge Analytica event is. And this might be a good question for you, Eric, since you're in this social medium. The first question was, how could it happen? And the way to think about it is that Facebook is a social media platform. And as it's grown, there are tons of third-party applications, different ways of interacting with it. This really isn't what's considered a data breach. We've talked about data breaches often on our show. This was actually data that was exposed in essence, by the way the Facebook platform is designed to operate. Is that something you can comment on, Eric?
Absolutely. It's been very interesting for me to listen to the news the last few days and, you know, talk about, hear about the situation with Facebook and understand, you know, what's been going on. And certainly there's Facebook has been in the news quite a lot, you know, because of their significance in terms of news dissemination, information dissemination. And it was certainly something that was, you know, very relevant to us when we thought about trust on the internet, because you're starting to actually see people are starting to experience maybe, unfortunately, some of the breakdowns of trust that exist in, you know, today's internet. And certainly when we were conceiving of our project, many of these storylines had already started to exist. So it's really kind of been fascinating and in a way kind of reinforcing of the original motivations that we had around our project.
Thank you, Eric. And I think that brings up a good point about what Hub is about. You're creating a blockchain platform for human interaction. Is there a point in time where its potential for Facebook-like functionality shows up on Hub?
You know, I certainly hope so. You know, again, you know, the whole social networks and this scenarios and also the breakdowns that, you know, sort of exist in today's social networks was definitely, you know, part of our mind when we conceived of the project. And, you know, I think the way that we characterized, you know, the situation was that you have a lot of information being shared, you know, today. You have people sharing information with each other who, you know, unlike the olden days where you could, you know, trust an authority, you know, maybe a radio station or a TV station or an authoritative news source, you're getting news from many different sources now. And so the question and the opportunity for kind of failure is, you know, do you trust the source of the information, you know, the person or the organization that is providing that news? I think what's been happening, you know, around Facebook and the challenges that they're confronting has really been, you know, all around that. And so we've thought that in our project there's certainly possibilities and even some concrete ideas in terms of how we can solve some of the problems that exist on today's social networks.
I think it's a great time for Hub, right? Because it was Brian Acton, who is the founder of WhatsApp. And WhatsApp was bought for billions by Facebook. And Brian had made estimated like $3 billion. He had tweeted this week that people should delete Facebook. And he was serious about that. And I think this also goes back into once you get past what people think of blockchain, which is Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, but the actual utility of blockchain, we're really talking about centralized systems. And a centralized system is an Apple, is a Facebook, to decentralized, which is really what blockchain is about. And this is where what you were just talking about on trust. There are ways that people could be leveraging platforms like Hub to achieve this trust that doesn't exist anymore in these centralized large platforms.
Yeah, you know, the development of the internet has definitely been very interesting over the last, you know, 20 years. And the internet actually started as a decentralized network. We all maybe forget about that these days because the evolution of the internet in the last 20 years has really been kind of the creation of these very large platforms, you know, of data and also power centralized around, you know, a few, you know, companies. And we all know who those are. And, you know, Facebook is in that group. But what sort of happens when that, you know, becomes the case is that you have this misalignment of incentives between the company that owns that data, who tries to, you know, leverage that data as much as possible for a profit motive, basically, and the users who want to do some interesting, you know, and valuable things for themselves on those platforms and mainly keep their data, you know, private because it is a, you know, a source of information. There's often a misalignment of incentives there. And, you know, one of the phrases that frequently get mentioned is that, you know, on these platforms, the users are the product, you know, and they are, you know, marketed to and so forth.
Well, when we get back, let's really dive in deep into how people are going to be interacting with Hub. And we can talk more also about how people can keep safe from Facebook. So to get a hold of us, email us at info@svin.biz. This is Keith Koo, and I'm with Eric Lee, founder of Hub.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888 888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and I've been joined today by founder of Hub, Eric Lee. Eric, thanks again for being in the studio. We had a great conversation in the first couple of segments around your journey and how from LinkedIn to Presto and now to Hub, how you're creating second-party trust through the Hub platform. So thanks again.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
So Eric, a question will come up is, why do we need to tokenize Hub? Why do we need to tokenize human trust?
Well, that's a very broad question. And it goes back to, you know, why build anything on blockchain? And it gets back to this, you know, question about, you know, who should own personal data, a user's personal data. And so what we have today are some rather large centralized platforms that are in charge, have been given the responsibility to store all this personal information, and the possible and probably the misalignment of incentives around the use of that data. And so what blockchain gives us the ability to do for the first time in history is to put the ownership of that data back to users. So the basic idea is that users can have control of their information. They can put that on a blockchain, which is decentralized, so that nobody, no corporation or organization owns it. And they are the ones who really controls the access of that information. So in a way, it brings back the original spirit of the internet and the sense in which, you know, people really should be in control of their data and especially their privacy.
So walk us through an example of how people would do that. I mean, I think this is really relevant given we were talking about the Cambridge Analytica problem with Facebook, or the perceived problem with that. And then actually, as much as people call it a breach, it really wasn't any data theft. This is just the way that the Facebook platform is designed. How in, you know, more of the mechanics of how would people be interacting with Hub to protect their data or to own that data like you were talking about?
Yeah. So what's interesting about blockchain these days is that you're starting to see sort of, you know, layers that are, you know, starting to, you know, get built up, you know, from, you know, low level kinds of stuff to, you know, higher and higher level kinds of application kinds of things. And so essentially one of the ways that you can understand in terms of what Hub is doing is we're trying to build a giant reputation database that's co-owned by all of the users that are in it. And so each user has control of their own reputation data, and they decide what they, you know, want to do with it. Likely they won't access the protocol, they won't access Hub directly, but they'll be using applications and services and be parts of communities that are integrated with Hub, where those interactions will result in new reputation data being put into their reputation profile. And then another aspect that is very important for us is that their reputation data is portable. So they can take their reputation data that they've earned from one domain, from one application or service, and transport it to another one essentially unpack it and, you know, have a reputation and have trust in some new service or community.
Would it be fair to say this is kind of like LinkedIn meets Yelp?
It would be. I mean, what we've seen is there's a continuum between LinkedIn and Yelp, actually, in that both of these systems are actually reputation systems. Yelp is about businesses and their trustworthiness, if you will, in terms of delivering their products or services. And LinkedIn is very much about professional reputation, you know, where you've been, you know, what academic degrees you've been. But these are both forms of reputation data. And so what we're trying to do is to see if we can build a reputation system that can encompass many different kinds of reputation data across arbitrary domains. And there is a sense in which, you know, people can add onto this system new kinds of reputation data. And so in terms of, you know, delivering new forms of better reputation data, that's what we want to achieve at Hub.
In Hub's white paper, it went through a section that was called the learnings from LinkedIn. Since we have LinkedIn, since we have Yelp, and we have other reputation systems, what is Hub going to do that's innovative or different?
Yeah, there's quite a few things that can be done beyond existing, you know, systems. One of the key problems that we want to solve is really around this idea of the authenticity of the reputation data. And so, you know, for example, just to make it very concrete, you know, people have successfully entered in their profile information onto LinkedIn, but you don't know whether that's the truth. So there is a fair amount of, let's say, fake information or fake profiles on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
How do you know somebody went to a certain school? How do you know if they've got a certain job or had a certain job? You know, in many cases, the, you know, falsification is quite convincing.
Sure.
And so, you know, you can't even really tell. And yet important decisions such as hiring is made on the basis of that information. So one of the things that we want to do is that we want to make the information gets recorded about somebody's reputation much more authentic. And there are ways that, you know, we can do that by working with the institutions that are responsible for that data to, you know, in effect, you know, vouch for that data and make sure that, you know, it's authentic once it gets into someone's reputation profile.
And, you know, a lot of what we talk about on blockchain that people still are just learning about, and we'll refer to it as the tokenomics or the incentivization, what would make, I get where companies and academia, there's something in it for them to do that. What makes a person want to be a part of this network?
Well, it comes from the insight that we have, and which I believe, you know, everyone will agree with, is that trust is really a currency that everybody should invest in their trustworthiness and should invest in their reputation, because economic opportunities, you know, come from that. People who have a great amount of trustworthiness or a great amount of reputation are the ones who have access to, you know, more economic opportunities, the ones that they want. They can command the prices that they, you know, want to charge for their products and services. So there literally is a translation between, you know, trust and the economic opportunities that they get access to. And so the tokens you mentioned earlier, Keith, really is an overall part of the blockchain world. But what that does is it basically incentivizes people to adopt this new technology by giving them an economic incentive to, you know, join. In our case, we've designed the token to incentivize people to not only act in trustworthy ways, but also to help us help them put reputation data on the blockchain, so that again, it can reinforce their trustworthiness in you know, certain domains.
You might have heard that countries like China, they have this social reputation algorithm they're applying to their population. How is this similar or different?
Well, it's similar in a sense in that I think, you know, China and you know, other countries that are investing in, you know, trust scores and so forth have a recognition that trustworthiness is valuable. So, you know, in the way that, you know, decisions about, you know, loans or access to, you know, civil services can be made based on someone's credibility. That's a recognition that, you know, there is something around, you know, trust and reputation. What we've done is that we believe the control of that information is really belongs to the users, and that they should control how it's accessed and how it's released to people. So built into our project is a pretty deep, you know, set of technologies that allow users to release that information on a case-by-case basis, for example, and allow them to release it to who they want, how they want, and so forth. So if, for example, if somebody is, you know, applying for a job, as long as they meet the qualifications of that job, maybe it shouldn't matter, you know, how old they are, what their gender is. And those are the kinds of things that, you know, we want to allow users to control while being able to share their reputation data with others who are interested in it.
Yeah, clearly Hub has a lot of aspirations. It's going to be a very interesting project to keep a watch on. When is the pre-sale period over?
Well, we have been exploring that and trying to figure out what's the best way to get tokens into the marketplace. There are some challenges in terms of the current regulatory environment, in terms of how to get tokens into the hands of users. So at the moment we're working with a set of private partners to raise the resources to go after this this space, and we're definitely interested to involve a lot more people in this effort. We believe it's relevant to a lot of folks, and we're still working on figuring that out.
All right. Well, thanks again, Eric. That's very interesting. And so this week, the cyber tip is back to what Brian Acton said, just delete Facebook. Certainly you can do that, but that's a very, very drastic approach. There are other things you can be doing. So the tip is, instead of deleting your Facebook account unless you really want to, is you can stop using what's called third-party apps. So whenever you see, hey, here's a personality test, what Game of Thrones character are you, just don't do it. Just avoid that. Another approach would be to adjust your other app settings to limit who can connect and see your data. That's another setting within Facebook. And then also, you can just make your Facebook account private instead of deleting it. But those are some very practical tips if you're not comfortable with deleting your Facebook account. All right. So again, if you want to get a hold of us, email us at info@svin.biz. If you have show ideas or you want to be a guest on the show, please let us know. We're going to come right back and wrap up with Eric Lee of Hub. Thank you.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and I'm joined today by founder and CEO of Hub, Eric Lee. And today's show, we've been discussing how Eric and his team have created the Human Trust Protocol, which is a blockchain project referred to as Hub. And the timing is just perfect, as in also in this week's news we've been talking about today is this Facebook was perceived to be a data breach, but in actuality is 50 million users' data that was released because of the existing and inherent capabilities of Facebook's platform, which is to allow third-party applications and providers like Cambridge to mine people's data. And so, Eric, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Great to talk about this topic.
So, Eric, what are some of the concrete things we can learn from what you're building with Hub?
Well, I think one of the things that is first and foremost is that we want to bring a degree of accountability to interactions on the internet, and that applies to whether people are sharing information. But also, in the situations where maybe they're conducting transactions with one another. And so when we bring accountability, I think people, want to make sure that, things go well. For example, we've envisioned, lots of scenarios where in marketplaces, for example, when there's a, buyer and seller who are engaged in a transaction where there's certainly something at stake in terms of, money, and so forth, that people are authentic and they're accountable for their actions. I think the internet has gotten very easy in terms of enabling people to post information which may not necessarily be true, or to put up products that they're listing, the which may be not delivering on the quality that they say that they will. And so in those cases where people are either selling information or they're selling products and services, to be able to have an accountability metric, which is what the blockchain project allows us to do, that there's something that can be gained in terms of reputation if a interaction goes well, but also that maybe there is something that can be lost that's of value in the cases where things don't go well.
Well, let's walk through that. Let's say that I'm a used car dealer and you're buying a car from me. How will this work on your platform?
Well, we want to capture that transaction, you know, of the transaction of the used car dealer, you know, selling a car to, you know, someone. And we want to have assurances that the product, the car that's being sold, is not going to break down as soon as it leaves the, you know, parking lot. And so there's basically an idea of a stake that is pledged both by the seller as well as from the buyer. In the sense that, you know, they will also act in, you know, trustworthy ways in terms of, you know, paying for a product if it works as advertised. And so the idea is that we can represent that as a transaction on the blockchain and, you know, provide some assurances that as the transaction, you know, completes, that both sides are happy and that, you know, assuming that both sides are happy, there's, you know, payments are made. The reward around the tokens that we have are, you know, issued back to the, you know, issued to the parties. And in the case where things don't go well, there can be a situation where the arbitration or the judgment of, you know, who was in the right, you know, can happen. There's an understanding between the parties that, you know, this is, you know, always possible or easy to do. So that's built into the, you know, project as well that, you know, helps to decide at the outcome of these situations in a very fluid way.
In terms of arbitration, for people who are getting more familiar with blockchain, one of the best analogies I hear often is the American judicial system with the jury. How are you picking those arbiters, or how do they become one?
Right. Well, you know, like in the typical blockchain fashion, we're going to leave that to the community. And to, you know, see that, you know, arbitrators and especially good and fair ones, you know, come out of the, you know, community itself. And so there's a sense in which the arbitrators are themselves players in the same network, in the same community, and they themselves have a reputation and they themselves have a, you know, trustworthiness. And so there could be a community of arbitrators that, you know, can help decide disputes, and you know, depending on how they've done, they can earn reputation that helps them continue to do this more, or maybe, you know, find something else that they maybe should be doing.
Well, Eric, thanks a lot for the example. It's been a really fun conversation. I'm guessing that the best way to get a hold of you is in typical blockchain fashion is you have a Telegram channel.
We do have a Telegram channel. It's at HubToken, and you can find us there. And we've got a website as well, hubtoken.org.
Great, great. Thanks. And I'm really looking forward to hearing more about what's happening with Hub in the near future. Thanks again for listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. To get a hold of me, I'm on Facebook, Keith Koo. I have a Silicon Valley Insider fan page, as well as Keith Koo on LinkedIn, your former company, Eric. And also, some reminders, I will be moderating the blockchain forum at Plug and Play next week, the week of March 25th. Also, I am the MC of the 2018 San Jose Smart City Conference. If you have a product or service you'd like to be considered to be featured at the conference, please email us at info@svin.biz. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. For questions or comments on today's program, or to schedule a complimentary consultation with Keith about your business, call 1-888-828-SVIN. That's 1-888-828-7846. 888-828-SVIN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.